Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Leighton Hewitt, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We are supported by BNP Paribas, the bank for a changing world, and we are in Glasgow, site of the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas semi-finals between Great Britain and Australia. And what a thrilling day we've had on Saturday. A five-set classic between the Murray brothers, Andy and Jamie, against the old warrior, Leighton Hewitt, and the biggest server in tennis, in Sam Groth. It went all the way, and eventually it was won by Great Britain. And it takes Britain now into a 2-1 lead overnight as we go into the Sunday's reverse singles. My name is David Law. I was commentating on those matches for BBC Radio 5 Live. I'm joined today by our regular Catherine Whittaker, and as a very special guest here on the Tennis Podcast, hot footing it from British Eurosport, is Annabelle Croft. Annabelle, how are you doing? We're sitting here at the moment and we're keeping our voices down because we're courtside looking around the corner at the Australian teams. It's only an hour ago that this place was utter bedlam, 8,000 voices and people shouting as loudly as they could. Now it is very quiet because the Australian team are going through their paces ahead of tomorrow's reverse singles, and frankly, I still don't know who's going to play, and I'm spying on them.
Well, I'm spying too. I'm trying to work out who they might put in to go up against Murray tomorrow in that first crucial singles match. And from what I'm seeing, it might well be Tomic, who of course is down to play, but after his first singles match, we all thought, well, maybe they won't play him. But after what's just happened with Murray, what an extraordinary contest that was. But I mean, he is very physically and emotionally drained, as he said in the press conference. So they need somebody, the Aussies do, that's going to have a bit more energy. And actually, Groth and Hewitt are both as exhausted probably as Murray, so I think it probably will be Tomic. But who knows? I mean, I'm trying to do my spying here. But Kokkinakis is also warming up, but of course he can't play Murray.
Absolutely. He's down to play Dan Evans in the fifth rubber, and Dan Evans has just walked past me and tapped me on the shoulder and smiled because he saw us spying.
It wasn't a smile, David. It was a wink. It was the wink of a fellow West Midlander is what it was.
Well, he's not very happy at the moment because his team, Aston Villa, have just lost to my team, West Bromwich Albion, so that was great. Now, we should also say that Leighton Hewitt is out there, and Sam Groth is practising his serve as well. So they're keeping us all guessing. We haven't got a clue, Catherine Whittaker.
Leighton looks like, well, to me, looks like he's out there in a sort of co-captaincy / coach capacity rather than in a playing capacity. I was all set to come on this podcast and say I thought Hewitt might be subbed in, and Groth possibly as well. But now that I've seen this, and Tomic seems to be the one having the most energetic hit here, and also thinking it through, what I would be thinking if I were the Aussie captain, I'd be thinking, well, our best chance is that Murray is exhausted tomorrow. Who's going to keep him out there the longest is Tomic, isn't it?
Yes, but who might be the most dangerous? Groth. Who's the most experienced? Hewitt. And let's be honest, Groth and Hewitt have just played 4 hours. They don't need to warm up at all, do they?
It is just such a conundrum. I mean, I literally have no idea what's going to happen, and we will probably only find out about an hour before the singles is due to take place tomorrow. But at the moment, I am thinking, like Catherine, that it's going to be Tomic. But like you just said, you know, with Groth and that big serve to get some free quick points, not to be too physically exhausted because of the type of brand of tennis that he brings out onto the court. But I think he looked utterly devastated when he left that court today. I mean, he gave it his all. I thought his performance was phenomenal, considering he's the least experienced, actually, out of all of them in this type of cauldron atmosphere. And he literally left every last ounce of energy out there on the court and played the match of his life. They both did. They really couldn't have played a better match than they did, and came so utterly close to it. But it's exciting, isn't it? What an atmosphere. I've never experienced an atmosphere quite like I've just experienced in here, as you said an hour ago. It was extraordinary.
Well, there you go, Glasgow. Annabel Croft says you got the best atmosphere in tennis. It was amazing. And because this Emirates Arena keeps all the sound in as well, Catherine, it goes right through you, doesn't it? Hair on the back of your neck standing up.
It was. I was watching those final few points from a sort of second tier level, just above where we're watching, next to this stand we're sitting at. And in the wake of the moment of victory, I could quite literally see this stand shaking as everybody was jumping up and down to the Proclaimers 500 miles. This stand was shaking. And I know that's a cliche, and I know people misuse the word literally, but I do mean literally shaking.
It certainly was. And we should add as well, we'll have a few sound effects from that match point a little bit later in the tennis podcast. We're also going to bring you the inside story of the British support team here as part of the BNP Paribas We Are Tennis Fan Academy. Catherine has been sent behind the scenes to meet them all and watch them go through their paces 2 hours before the match even starts. They actually do training so that they're really good at singing their songs. Annabel Croft, that match today, it was so up and down, wasn't it? I mean, did you at any point, apart from match point when you saw the final point won by Britain, did you actually think, I know what's going to happen here? Because every time I thought I knew, something else happened.
Yeah, well, it had so many twists and turns. And of course, I was doing the on-court interview with the winners and then with the captain as well. But I can honestly say I went through about 25,000 different cue cards because I'd rewritten the questions so many times. And, you know, it just was so extraordinary, the twists and turns, because at one stage you had Groth serving for the first set. He then went down break points to serve out that set. And you thought, oh, he's jittering and he just can't close out. Suddenly he was able to come back in that game and get that first set under their belt. And you thought, wow, I didn't expect the Aussies to get off to such a fast start, but they did. Then, of course, they were up again with breaks in that third set, and then they were pegged back, and you thought they were going to go set two sets to one up, but it didn't happen. Then in the fourth set, they were, what was it? Jamie was down set points at love 40, managed to come back and save that. Then they went match points up in the fourth set. They didn't get that one. I thought they were going to close the match at that point. I ripped up all my cue cards yet again. And then, of course, they came out with a fast start in the fifth, and then they got broken back again. So like you said, David, I mean, literally until the last point was played, I really didn't know what was happening. And I was sitting, I mean, Catherine's just talked about the atmosphere here in this particular stand, which we're right close to now, but I was sitting underneath that support cam right by the drummer. And literally, the drum was just going right through your entire body. And it is a bit like having some kid that's just opened a set of drums for Christmas. And you kind of think, actually, you know what? This is actually really quite wearing now. Can you just give it a break for a minute? But they carried on for every single point that was ever played in the entire match. So anyway, I got used to the drumming. I
think, yeah, if you don't like drums, Annabel Croft, don't come to the Davis Cup. Simple as that, really. Now, the other semi-final at the moment, it poised at one all over. Night. Argentina, as we record currently, two sets to one up in the doubles. So it's all to play for. I mean, you know, I think if Britain played Argentina, that would be in the UK somewhere. We have no idea where. I think they might need a bigger stadium than this by Davis Cup final rules to be able to hold it somewhere. But anyway, it would be fantastic to have it in Britain. If it went to Belgium, an away tie, that would be thrilling. But there's still a small matter of the reverse singles to come here, Catherine Whittaker. We don't know who Australia are going to put up yet, but Andy Murray is going to have to try to bring Britain home, isn't he?
Yeah, no pressure, Andy, but it is, the hopes of a nation are all on this one match. You know, just total expectation. Everybody, you know, we spoke to Greg Rosedsky on the podcast yesterday, and he said there is not a hope in hell that Andy Murray is losing any of his matches at this tie. And, you know, people put those eggs in the basket before the tie even starts. And certainly after watching him against Kokkinakis yesterday, the eggs were doubly in the basket. So
a lot of eggs here.
It's almost he can only lose, can't he? Because it's...
No, he can win and then send Britain through to the final.
And people will go, oh, well done, Andy. You did what everybody expected of you.
Valid point. Yeah, Annabelle, I mean, it is enormous pressure Andy Murray has to play with in this country, isn't it?
I can't even imagine the sort of pressure that he's under, but he does seem to thrive on it, and he rises to the occasion. You can see him feeding off the energy of the crowd out here, and I think he really loves it, actually. And from talking to Judy at the US Open, you know, she was saying, I went on the bus with her one journey out to the site, and she said, you have no idea how much he wants to win this Davis Cup. It is like one of his major ambitions, and I think it's right up there in terms of pressure of when he tried to win Wimbledon, and of course the US Open, and that Olympic gold, but this is on his bucket list, and he is so close now. And you only have to watch his body language out here. I mean, he's just so fired up, and he's just like giving it heaps to the crowd. But he's emotionally a lot more stable than I think we've witnessed in some of the matches and singles at the US Open. It's almost as if he's keeping this emotion under wraps to conserve the energy for the right times, and he's not giving away nearly as much as he does when he's representing himself out there. I think there seems to be a bit of a difference when he's representing his country.
I think I completely agree with you. I think it's partly energy conservation, but I also think it's... I mean, OK, the match against Kevin Anderson at the US Open was perhaps a little bit of a blip in terms of latter-day Andy Murray stand.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
I think, as Simon Briggs referred to at the time, it was a little bit pre-Lendl. But it's a lot more difficult, I would imagine, to sit there and F and Jeff and everything in the name of your country. I would guess if you were at any point tempted, you know, there were a couple of moments during this doubles match where Andy went to throw the racket and just held himself back. And I wonder if, you know, it's because throwing the racket with GB colours on feels a little bit different to only having yourself to answer to.
Possibly. Well, let's hear from the British team, a pretty exhausted Andy Murray and Jamie Murray alongside Leon Smith afterwards. Jamie was asked what he thought of the experience.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I think for us to come back and play in Scotland is always a lot of fun. I think we all really look forward to it. Yeah, obviously, there's a lot at stake for us today for the team. Doubles is always such an important rubber in Davis Cup, and we just wanted to do our best for the team and try to get the result that will put us in a good position for the rest of the tie.
Andy, Jamie, your mum was in the crowd today, and it looked to be quite an agonising experience for her at various moments, and quite a unique experience as well. Both her sons holding hopes of a nation. Do you ever spare a thought for what she's going through when watching you both?
Our whole family were there. Our dad was there as well. It's not just our mum that goes through it a lot of the time. It's our whole family. Yeah, they always stick by us. They're always there to support us. They obviously desperately want us to win, but the nicest thing about family is that they don't actually, it doesn't change how they view you, whether you win or lose a tennis match. You know, they still view you exactly the same. They care about you as people first. It's not just about winning and losing tennis matches. So yeah, it is difficult to watch, but it is also nice having a close and supportive family behind you, because when you lose matches like that, or you know, tough ones in a slam final or whatever, they're always there supporting.
Andy, you've achieved most things in tennis. You won Grand Slams. What would it mean to you to take your country into a Davis Cup final, having the team been down right in the depths of the competition not too many years ago?
I don't know, but hopefully I'll get the chance to answer that tomorrow. You know, just try and concentrate on the match and focus on the tactics and try and perform like I did on Friday. And that's what my job is to do tomorrow. And hopefully I can do it well.
So a great day for the British team. What about the Australians?
Yeah, all Davis Cup doubles is a lot of ebbs and flows throughout a five-set match, especially on that kind of surface, which, it's on the slower side court. So, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be some breaks of serves. And, we obviously, fought off some break points early in the first set, was able to get that set. Second set, we couldn't quite get into their service games as much. And then, obviously, we had an early break in the third. Got a little bit unlucky, actually, to give the break back, where they hit some neck cords. And then, obviously we just kept fighting and digging deep when they served for the match in the fourth and a really close tie break. And the fifth again, we were down a break, came back, and then obviously got broken in the end. So, doubles, especially doubles, Davis Cup doubles over five sets, it sometimes can only rely on one or two points.
Wally, could you just sum up how proud you are of your guys, as Leighton said, for coming back into that match, but how tempting is it now perhaps to throw Leighton in against Andy tomorrow, bearing in mind what Andy's gone through in that match as well?
Yeah, look, you make an interesting point. We do have that versatility with four singles players, but we'll make all our decisions in the morning. But look, the doubles, it was a great doubles. It was highly entertaining. The crowd certainly made it interesting, and they got behind their boys when they got on a roll in that third set. But as you said, I'm extremely proud of our guys. They've trained incredibly hard. All year we've been working towards this, and they left everything out on the court. You know, it's not easy to soak up all that disappointment. They were down 3-love in the fifth. They turned that around. They came within a whisker of winning. But congratulations to the Murray boys. They played well, and they played well for a long period of time, and they had to be at their best to beat these guys. But as I said, I was proud to have Australia on my back today.
Options, Leighton and Wally. If Bernie plays Andy tomorrow, has he got a match of his life in him?
Well, he probably will have to. Andy was he was scintillating in his singles, but I can tell you won't be quite as clinical. He won't feel quite as good as he did on Friday, that's for sure, because that was brutal. Just playing with that sort of tension for that amount of hours is tiring in itself. And I think that's one of the great things about our team. We have four singles players, and from those four singles players, we create a doubles team. And, a very competitive doubles team, it must be said. And, we have options, and we will go back tonight, assess how everybody's feeling. We'll have a little think about tomorrow and come up with something.
So there's the British and the Australian teams. There is one more day of this Great Britain against Australia Davis Cup by BNP Paribas. Semi-final still to come. The reverse singles. It is 2-1 Britain. Annabelle Croft is now going to give us the result.
I think Andy Murray is going to play Bernard Tomic, and I think he's going to win it in four sets. And I think Britain will be into the final for the first time in how many years?
Oh, just the 37, 1978.
There you go, since a long time ago.
Certainly is a long time ago.
They aren't half punchy, these British Eurosport pundits we get on, are they? I mean, this is prediction central here.
They fit right here in, on the tennis podcast brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Welcome anytime, Annabelle.
Thank you. I love coming on your show. Thank you so much. It's been really fun. And what a great day to have come on. I think it's one of the most memorable days in British tennis history, actually.
And a big part of that is the atmosphere. Annabelle talked about it, reckoned that this is the best crowd she's ever heard inside a stadium. A big part of that is the We Are Tennis Fan Academy that BNP Paribas has sorted out. What they did is they got people to submit their applications to be the best fan in the world. And John McEnroe was the man who had the decision to make as to who would make the grade. He decided on a group of about 150 people that are here in Glasgow. And you might think that they just pitch up with their saxophone and their drum and make lots of noise, but they actually go through training, as Catherine Whittaker found out.
I'm joined by Nick, who is the unofficial drill sergeant of the BNP Paribas We Are Tennis Fan Academy. Nick, how on earth did you come to this role?
We did it for the first time at Queen's. It worked really well. So what they've done is first time, which is normal in football and other sports, they've penned all of the fans together that make noise to create a sort of section within the stadium that sing and chant and get on the players' sort of side. So we had a training academy yesterday before the game where we put them through all the paces of the songs and everything else. We make them do shuttle runs so that they're fit, so that they can last the course, because the Davis Cup is obviously over 3 days. I know, it's hard. So, you know, we want them to commit. We want them to replicate really what the players are doing in the squad. It's, you know, it's a fantastic thing to do.
Could you introduce me to some of your star recruits, please, Nick?
Let me just introduce you to Gloria. Gloria was with us for the quarterfinal. And I officially voted her the best human being that I've ever met.
Aww. Now,
hello, Gloria. We have to speak to you. Tell me about being in the We Are Tennis Fan Academy.
It's just fantastic. Electric atmosphere every time. I love it.
How did you come to be in this fan academy?
Well, actually, my son and I went to Queen's. And then he said, Mom, do a video. Then I did. And they selected me, and then I had an interview with McEnroe, and then he chose me too. So,
hi guys, introduce yourselves to me and tell me what it is you're doing here today.
So I'm Deepa, and I'm Divya. Here to support GB as a twins.
You are identical twins by the looks of things.
Yeah.
And how is it being drilled by a drill sergeant like Nick? Being sort of a professional tennis fan is what it sounds like.
Yes, I mean, similar to Gloria, we were in Queens and we made this video and then got picked.
You got picked by McEnroe as
well? McEnroe, yeah, which is great. And then this all started and I didn't really know what I was jumping into, but it's a lot of fun.
I think it's a great idea. I think that's what tennis needs, kind of. Because normally tennis fans are more subdued than the other, you know, rugby and soccer.
It's all very polite and Wimbledon-y, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is exactly what you need. And I think this kind of gives a permission to be like that, and it's great.
Do you get a real kick out of seeing how much the players respond to it? I mean, Andy Murray absolutely loves it, doesn't he?
Exactly. Andy Murray especially. He exits on to, you know, to shout louder, and I think that's absolutely...
Well, guys, keep up the good work, because the doubles is going to be crucial.
Yes,
keep it up.
Exactly. Thank you. Go GB.
It's a big occasion, and to have the support behind you, it makes a huge difference. I mean, I don't know why that is, but it's the case in every single sport, in my opinion. I don't know any football teams that play worse when they play at home. All of the British athletes performed, I would say, better at the Olympics when it was held in London, and it helps when you have the backing of the crowd. It makes a difference.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.